Today is Pentecost Sunday. Today we celebrate the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Now, before we get into everything, I want to remind you of this very important fact. The Holy Spirit is God. He is not just a mystical spirit. He is God. He is part of the triune God. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. It was much more than an event. It was much bigger than a day. You see, there is a purpose for Pentecost. Let me tell you a story about a Toronto lawyer named Charles Vance Millar. He died in 1926, leaving behind a will that amused the people of his day. Millar, a bachelor with a wicked sense of humor, stated clearly that he intended his last will and testament to, and these are his words, to be an uncommon and capricious document. Because he had no heirs to inherit his fortune, he divided his money and his properties in a way that amused him. Here are a few examples of his strange bequests. He gave a vacation home in Jamaica to a group of three men who detested each other under the condition that they live in the estate together for the rest of their lives. He left shares in the O'Keeffe Brewery Company to prominent teetotaling Protestant ministers in the city of Toronto. But his most famous bequest was that he would leave the bulk of his fortune to the Toronto woman who gave birth to the most children in the 10 years after his death. This was so famous and became so well known that it's to this day still called the Great Stork Derby. This clause in his will caught the public's imagination, and the country was entering into the Great Depression as people struggled to meet even their most basic economic needs and responsibilities. The prospect of an enormous windfall was naturally quite alluring. Excitement over the baby race quickly built. In 1936, four mothers who had each given birth to nine children during the 10-year period divided up Charles Miller's bequest. Each of them received the staggering sum in those days of $110,000. In 2020 dollars, that would be the equivalent of $1.96 million per family. Charles Millar caused such mischief with his will. This was his final legacy to humanity. When Jesus left this earth, he bequeathed a different kind of legacy to his followers. He promised us the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we read these words. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not long after Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, he ascended into heaven as he was taken into the clouds. 10 days later, the disciples and a number of believers were gathered together. We're not quite sure, but we estimate there were about 120 people gathering together for a time of prayer. This was known as the Day of Pentecost. Now, the Day of Pentecost does not get its name from the events in Acts chapter 2. The Day of Pentecost gets its name from a Jewish feast. There's a Jewish feast that takes place on the 50th day after the Sabbath of Passover week. It just so happens the day in Acts chapter 2 is the Day of Pentecost in the Jewish calendar and the Jewish festivals. And so Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4 tells us this part of the story. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Bible tells us that as they are gathered together in this room, then suddenly three things happened. There is the sound of a violent wind. Now catch that. It doesn't say there was a violent wind. There was this mighty rushing sound like a mighty wind. There was flames of fire that came and rested on or over each person that was present. And they began to speak in other languages, other tongues, as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had told them about. This was the fulfillment of the promise. It was a great event. Now, God doesn't do anything by accident. But what is the purpose of the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? See, the result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is that God gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live with boldness for Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to help us to be true disciples of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to live for Jesus in every aspect of our life. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, he changed the lives of the disciples and the believers that were present. We could see how the Holy Spirit brought new boldness to the apostles and the believers. We see that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit caused people to accept and follow Jesus. And that day, the church as we know it was born. You see, the Holy Spirit came with a purpose. Now, I want to share with you some examples in the early church of what the Holy Spirit did. I'm going to pull stories from about the first 9 chapters of the book of Acts, and I just want you to understand it in this time frame, that although there's the first 9 chapters in the book of Acts, you know, we can sit and read them in, 30, 40 minutes, and we go through 9 chapters. We don't think much of it. But it's really a historical account. And those first 9 chapters in the book of Acts span approximately 7 years in the history and the story of the early church. And over these 7 years, we see that the power of the Holy Spirit never diminishes from the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit wasn't just for that day or even just for that time. In fact, his presence continues to grow through the book of Acts and through to today. People continue to be saved. Believers continue to share the gospel with boldness. Lives continue to be changed because of the Holy Spirit. Look at what the Holy Spirit accomplished in the lives of these early believers. Let me share a couple of stories with you. But let's start with the day of Pentecost. On that day, Peter preaches powerfully to the crowd. Prior to the day of Pentecost, we know who Peter is. He's the disciple who's always out there. He's the disciple who's quick to speak, quick to action, quick to put his foot in his mouth, first to grasp things and the first to mess up. He is also the disciple who, it seems, leading into the day of Pentecost, I'm reading into it, but he's become kind of quiet. Maybe it has to do with what happened on the night that Jesus was arrested, where Peter betrayed him 3 times before the rooster crowed. But where Jesus graciously forgave him and reinstated him with those 3 statements of feed my lambs, feed my sheep. We looked at that actually a few weeks ago. And here is Peter, and he's with the disciples. They've been subdued. They've been quiet. Jesus has ascended. He's gone. They're keeping to themselves. But here they are on the day of Pentecost, that Jewish feast. They're gathered for a time of prayer. And then the day of Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit was poured out. That day, Peter rises up with the power and the boldness of the Holy Spirit to speak to the onlookers who had gathered in Jerusalem for the feast. And he preaches a gospel message, and we're told that about 3,000 people got saved and came to know Jesus and follow him that day. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He empowers us to live boldly for Jesus. Short time later, Peter and John heal a crippled man. See, one afternoon, Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray, and they come across a man who was born crippled, who would often or always be on the way to the temple begging people for alms so he could survive and support himself. And that day, Peter and John stopped when they came to the man as they heard him begging. You know, I don't know what he was saying, alms for the poor. And we hear those words that are so recorded to us in Scripture, where Peter and John look at him and Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the Bible says Peter grabbed him by the hand and pulled him up. And instantly the man's legs were strengthened and he was healed. He was able to walk. See, when the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And Peter and John were bold enough to offer a poor, crippled beggar all that they had, the healing power of Jesus. What boldness that was to command that crippled man to walk. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He empowers us to live boldly for Jesus. Just following the heels of that miracle, Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin are the ruling Jewish council of their day. They're questioning this healing of the crippled man. And more than that, the preaching and teaching that Peter and John have been doing in the city of Jerusalem. How they've been talking about Jesus. How they've been talking that he was raised from the dead. That he is the promised Messiah. And this made the religious leaders uncomfortable. So uncomfortable that they took Peter and John and threw them in prison overnight. The next day they brought them out before the council and they asked them about their teachings. And they asked them this question, by what power do you speak? Oh, the Bible says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak to them. And he began to teach them all that Jesus had taught them. And these leaders were so impressed that Acts chapter 4:13 says this, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. See, the religious leaders tried to bully Peter and John not to speak about Jesus. But the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gave them, the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has inside them came through and gave them the ability to answer wisely. See, when the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Peter and John were given the boldness to speak about Jesus, and Holy Spirit gave them the wisdom to astonish the teachers of their day. That is what the Holy Spirit does. He gives you the wisdom to share your faith. A little time later, there's a story of a man named Stephen, a man of power and wisdom. Here we meet an ordinary follower of Jesus who is described as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he did great wonders and miraculous signs. He too was eventually brought before the religious council on false charges, and he was asked to defend himself. Stephen spoke with such great wisdom. He explained the gospel of Jesus. And if you read this whole chapter of the book of Acts, that's probably a summation of what he said. He starts with Abraham, and he goes with Abraham through Moses, through King David and the prophets, and he explains the plan of salvation that God has for the world through Jesus Christ. Well, this made the people even angrier when he talked about a Messiah named Jesus, that they took Stephen out and they stoned him to death. See, when the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit, and the people took notice. That is what the Holy Spirit does. He gives you the wisdom to defend your faith and affect the lives of others. One more story for you. Saul on the road to Damascus. Now, Saul is a fairly young man. The Bible tells us he is actually present at the stoning of Stephen, and he's even consenting to it, although he's probably not participating. Now, what you need to know about Saul is he's a righteous Jew. He's a well-educated Jew. He's being educated to be a Pharisee. And he's taken aback by this teaching of these apostles, these early disciples about Jesus, because he thinks that they are spreading false truths about God and that they are hurting the name of Jehovah God. And as a Jew, he needs to stand up for that. So Saul becomes a persecutor of these early disciples. He goes around and he grabs them and he imprisons them and he puts them in prison. And he's on his way to Damascus. He's got permission. He's got papers from the ruling council that give him permission to go to look for disciples in Damascus so that he could arrest them and put an end to the false teachings that they are teaching. But there's a twist in this story, and as Saul is on the way from Jerusalem to Damascus, Jesus intersects him. Jesus has an encounter with him. Jesus calls him and speaks to him, and then Jesus blinds him. And so Saul is led to the house of somebody in Damascus, and God sends another believer named Ananias, and he sends him to Saul. He says, go to Saul, lay hands on him and pray for him, because I'm going to use him. And so Ananias goes, and as he lays hands on Saul, the Bible tells us that his eyes become open and he becomes filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. See, when the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was poured out. It turns out that Saul's encounter with Jesus forever changed his life. Jesus changed his name from Saul to Paul. He became an apostle to the Gentiles instead of a destroyer of the church. Instead of tearing down churches, he spent his life building up churches and filling them with believers. In fact, he is so used by God that he writes about 2/3 of our current New Testament. That is what the Holy Spirit does. He empowers you so that your life is lived for Jesus in a way that should draw people to Jesus. I share these stories from the book of Acts to show you the difference that the Holy Spirit makes in our lives. I also want you to see that the power of the Holy Spirit wasn't just for that one day. The power of the Holy Spirit was poured out on all believers. I remind you, I told you those stories took about 7 years of time. In fact, the entire book of Acts spans about 40 years history of the early church. And throughout the book, we see the purpose of the Holy Spirit. See, Paul could not conduct his missionary journeys without the power of the Holy Spirit. Churches could not have been started without the power of the Holy Spirit. Leaders could not have been raised up without the power of the Holy Spirit. People could not get saved and come into a relationship with the living Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a purpose for the Holy Spirit in your life. I want to share with you a few purposes of the Holy Spirit for your life. Here is why you need the Holy Spirit. Firstly, the Holy Spirit gives you the strength to live for Jesus. Acts 1:8 tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, the power to live for Jesus comes from the Holy Spirit. How many times have you tried to do the right thing with your own willpower? How many times has your willpower let you down? You see, when your faith is lagging, or when you're worn out spiritually, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives you the strength to live for God. Another thing is that the Holy Spirit gives you boldness. Acts 4:31 tells us, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. See, the Holy Spirit gives us the boldness to be able to talk about Jesus and live for Jesus. Boldness to live in a way that points people to Jesus so that they see Jesus in you. The Holy Spirit guides you. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. See, the Holy Spirit is our present-day guide in this earth. See, when Jesus walked the earth, when he called those 12 disciples to be with him, he was their guide. He was there in the flesh. He was in person with them. Many times in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we read the stories where Jesus would teach the multitudes, and then when they were off, just the 13 of them or a handful of them with some other believers possibly, the disciples would say to Jesus, "Tell us what you meant. We didn't understand that. Explain that to us. Tell us the meaning of that story, that parable." You see, Jesus was their guide, but Jesus is now ascended to heaven, and he has sent us the promise, the Holy Spirit, and he is our guide today. He helps us to understand. He teaches us the truths of Scripture, and not only does he teach us the truths, he helps us to apply those truths to our everyday living. Another purpose of the Holy Spirit is this. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 1:17 says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." See, the Holy Spirit helps you to know God better. He provides wisdom in areas of life where you need God's direction. If you're ever in a place in your life when you don't know what to do, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and revelation. Because not only is he your guide to help you understand, he is your wisdom and revelation to help you through difficult times and places. Another thing is the Holy Spirit is your helper and teacher. John 14:26 says, "But the advocate," that is the Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." See, the Holy Spirit reminds you of what Jesus said and taught. Those are the things that we read in the Bible. That's why reading the Bible is such an important part of being a disciple of Jesus. See, when we read the Bible, we allow the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to take the Word of God and make it alive, living, and make it so that it becomes meaningful and purposeful to us. The Word comes alive, gives us hope and direction, gives us purpose and understanding. And we get all of that because the Holy Spirit does that in our lives. The last thing I want to leave with you today is the Holy Spirit frees you from the power of sin. Romans 8:2 says this, "And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." See, the Holy Spirit has freed you from the power of sin. See, the power of sin, when we don't know Jesus, when we don't accept Jesus into our lives, sin has a power, has a hold on us. But when we give our lives to Jesus, when we ask for his forgiveness in our lives, when we ask for forgiveness of sins, when we decide we want to walk and live our lives for Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and he breaks that power, that hold that sin had on us. Doesn't mean we don't fight sin anymore. Doesn't mean we're not tempted anymore. That's not the same thing. But the Holy Spirit breaks the power of sin. We do not have to automatically sin anymore because the power of sin is broken. The Holy Spirit breaks that hold of sin over our lives, and you can now live for Jesus. God did not pour out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost just so we could talk about a wonderful day. Oh, wow. It's not just so we could talk about the mighty wind or the fire or the speaking in tongues. No, it's not just so we could have a wonderful spiritual experience. God provided Pentecost because we needed it. We are not capable on our own to live for Jesus. On our own strength, we will not get the job done. Our wisdom alone will not be enough. We need the Holy Spirit to come and provide what we need to be a true disciple of Jesus. We need His strength and His power. We need His wisdom. We need His transformation, and we need His hope. Lately, I've been reading the book of Acts, purposely leading up into today, the day of Pentecost. And something struck me this time reading the book of Acts that I've missed every other time somehow, or I knew at some point and forgot about it. But it's this word disciple. Especially in the first half of the book of Acts, we often see the writer referring to the disciples. And at first reading, you might say, well, yeah, you know, the 11 disciples, the ones who were with Jesus. But then if you pay close attention, and I'm reading it out of the NIV, the New International Version, I notice this phrase keeps popping up, the apostles and disciples. Then it dawned on me. The disciples aren't the 11 that Jesus called. Those are the apostles. The disciples were every believer in the early church who followed Jesus. They didn't use the words Christian back then or follower of Jesus. Once they came to accept Jesus, they were disciples. Now that's a strong word, because to be a disciple means that you are committed. A disciple would give everything to live for Jesus. Jesus was the main issue of a disciple's life. And so in the early church, there were no Christians or followers. There were disciples. See, Jesus is looking for disciples, not just for people who call themselves Christians. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, then you need the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. See, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make you a disciple of Jesus. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help you live for Jesus. And so I want to invite you today, if you're listening to me and watching me, and maybe you say, you know what? I'm not really a disciple. I'm not even maybe a Christian. I kind of log on and watch church every now and then. And when churches were open, I'd go maybe once or twice a year. But Jesus is calling you to more. The Holy Spirit is drawing you to more. The Holy Spirit wants you to have a living relationship with the living Jesus so that you could know Him as a friend. You can talk to Him and He could help you. Now, it's really easy to become a disciple of Jesus. I call it ABC. A is accept, B is believe, and C is confess. You need to accept who Jesus is, that who the Jesus of the Bible is who He is. He is the Son of God who came to this world to tell us about the Father and to die on the cross. And then you need to believe that Jesus died for your sins, and He died so that you could be forgiven. And then you need to confess Him with your mouth and in your heart that He is the Lord. And you can ask Him to forgive you of your sin. And you simply do that. Accept, believe, and confess. If you do that, you become a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're doing that today, if you so desire to become a Christian, a disciple, a follower of Jesus, then pick up your phone and text me the word love to 416-267-1189. If you're on our online platform, you can click the button that's about to appear and fill out the information, follow the prompts in those texts, and it's going to send us your information. We want to walk with you in your journey with Jesus. So let us know that you want to be a disciple today, and we will reach back out to you and help you in this. Let's pray together. Father, we just are so thankful to You that You have given us the promise of Your Spirit. Your Holy Spirit poured out on the day of Pentecost because it becomes the ever-changing factor in our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for walking with us, for teaching us, for guiding us, for helping us, for strengthening us, for enabling us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you all glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.